Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
It's good to be in spirit on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
The only place to be is in spirit. Saints, I would like to begin by just reading just a few paragraphs to you from the ministry. This really touched me very deeply because before the first group of saints went to Russia, our brother said this to them. He said, just remember, you only have today. You don't have tomorrow. So when you went in Dave Higgins' office, Dave's with the Lord now, he had that as a quote in a frame. You only have today. You don't have tomorrow. Saints, that seems very simple, but that touched me very, very deeply. You know, in the book of Hebrews, the word today is very important. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And the word today is used repeatedly in the book of Hebrews. We have a website called lsmwebcast.org, right? And, when we first started that, I had never looked at anything on there, but my wife was watching it. And she said, Eddie, come here, because she was watching another room. She said, you got to see Brother Lee. Come in here. So I went in there, and she pointed out to me, I was on like the second row or something. She said, look, your hair is totally black. That was so many years ago, you know. But Brother Lee started talking about this one word, today. And, you know, he was so released. And then I realized I edited this word. How in the world did I edit this? I went to the book and looked because it's indescribable. I'd just like to read to you. This is from The Way to Practice the Lord's Present Move. Listen to what he says here. Forget about Eldon Hall. Forget about yesterday's enjoyment of Christ. You need a fresh enjoyment. You need something up to date. The Lord was there in Eldon Hall, but he is not there now. He is here presently, moving in his recovery, and he is in you.
Amen.
Wherever you are, he is in you. And he is in you right now.
Amen.
Do you believe he is repeating all the things that he did in the past? He is not repeating anything. He is always going on and on. The Lord is working. He is moving. Are you a person of yesterday? All of us should be people of today.
Amen.
Every day is a today.
Amen.
With some people, every day is tomorrow, and with others, every day is yesterday. Some of the saints may say how good it was in 1952 when I got saved. Even to look back to 1982 is not to be up to date. Do not look ahead to the future and do not look back to the past. We are people of today.
Amen.
Do not talk about your old experiences in the past. Talk about your experience today.
Amen.
Be filled today.
Amen.
Be filled, not yesterday, nor tomorrow, but today. Every day is a today.
Amen.
I like this. We do not have yesterday. We had yesterday, but we do not have it now. We will never have tomorrow. All the time we have is today.
Amen.
Every day is a today.
Amen.
When we enter into the New Jerusalem, we will have today, since every day in eternity is today. The only day we have is today.
Amen.
Be filled inwardly today.
Amen.
Be filled outwardly today.
Amen.
Be filled today.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I watched him share that on the webcast. He was so released. I said, how in the world did I edit that? So I went back to see how I edited it. And I read you what I edited. And I did the best I could, but there's no way you can capture the way our brother was sharing. I mean, at a certain point, he was saying, today, the whole congregation got up. Today. One time he jumped. I mean, he's in his 70s, and he jumped. I can't jump as high as he jumped. You know, so he was so excited. But this word today is very important, saints. All right, now, let's come to this outline. The title is Romans 8, the focus of the entire Bible, and the center of the universe. What a title. The focus of the entire Bible and the center of the universe. Now, Roman number 1 says the key to being an overcomer is the law of the Spirit of life in Romans 8, a chapter for desperate seekers. I think we shared this at the beginning of the conference, that you can see at the end of Romans 7, Paul was desperate. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then at the end of Romans 7, that ushers us in to Romans 8. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and of death. So he discovered a law. And saints, I hope we would just ask the Lord, make me desperate. Make me desperate. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be halfway. You know, if you look at Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm among all the psalms, verse 2 says this, blessed are those who seek him with all their heart. With all their heart. Yes, it's possible for us to seek him, but are we seeking him with all of our heart? With all of our heart. Okay, now let's come to the next point. This is A. Romans 7 is the experience of being in the flesh. Romans 8 is the experience of being in the Spirit. And the Spirit here is the divine Spirit dwelling in our human spirit, and these two mingle together to be one Spirit. He was joined to the Lord is one Spirit. B, the enjoyment of the law of the Spirit of life in Romans 8 ushers us into the reality of the body of Christ in Romans 12. This law operates within us as we live in the body and for the body. Now remember, when we use the word law here, when Paul used the word law in both Romans 7 and Romans 8, what he meant by law is law is a automatic principle. Law is spontaneous. It's an automatic principle. It's a spontaneous function. Just like I have my Bible here. There is the law of gravity, right? So if I have my Bible up here and I drop it, you all know what's going to happen, right? Because of the law of gravity, it's going to fall, right? Now, if we were circling the moon, and Brother Juan said, Ed, hand me your Bible. We're outside the law of gravity, so I could just do this and it will float to him, right? Saints, when we are in the law of the Spirit of life, we are outside the law of sin and of death. It's wonderful. So the law of the Spirit of life is a automatic principle and is a spontaneous power. You know, saints, to me it is marvelous that the triune God was processed. He went through, he came out of eternity into time with his divinity into humanity. He passed through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and he came into us as a law. He is a law in our spirit. He is a spontaneous power. He is an automatic principle. Just wonderful. Now, Roman numeral 2 says, of course, we have these verses here you know, in Romans 12, firstly in verse 1, Paul encourages us to present our bodies. Then in verse 2, he says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Then in verse 11, he says, be burning in spirit, serving the Lord. So you put these verses together, what you have is the body, the mind, and the spirit. So you, like this morning, you presented your body here. Thank the Lord our bodies are here, right? That means we have a chance, right? Our bodies are here as a living sacrifice. And when your body is in the meeting and you open to the Lord, you can be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's the leading part of your soul. Then in verse 11, it says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be burning in spirit. Be burning in spirit. You know, when I was reading this morning, I couldn't help thinking about the burnt offering. In Leviticus 1, we all need to take the Lord as our burnt offering every day, every day. You know, the type of Christ as the burnt offering means that he was a person who was absolutely for God and for God's satisfaction. So his living was absolutely for God and for God's satisfaction. That's one. But we know that he came into us. Now he lives in our spirit. So there's a second typological significance. And I really like this. The burnt offering signifies him being the life that enables us to have such a living. A living that is absolutely for God and for God's satisfaction. Because he, as life, is in our spirit, it enables us to have a living that is absolutely for God and for God's satisfaction. So again, when we switch him on, right, the law of the spirit of life, spontaneously, automatically, we are absolutely for God and for God's satisfaction. Now, Roman numeral 2 says, in order to experience the indwelling Christ as the law of the spirit of life, we need to see the three lives and four laws in Romans 7 and 8. So A says, the created human life with the law of good is in our soul. This law derives from the natural human life, that is, from man himself. B says, the evil satanic life with the law of sin and of death is in our flesh. This law derives from Satan, who as sin dwells in the believer's flesh. You know, we've got these verses from Romans 7 here, and repeatedly in Romans 7, 15 through 20, Paul says these two words, I will, I will. He exercised his will, his human will, to try to overcome the law of sin and of death. No matter how much he exercised his human will, he couldn't overcome that law. And so the human will cannot overcome the law of sin and of death. When we read Romans 7, this portion of Romans 7, we can see this. You know, here we are. We're sitting here. We're in the realm of the law of gravity, right? But I'm gonna get on a plane in a few days, and I'm gonna fly to London, and I'm gonna enjoy the law of aerodynamics, right? I'm not gonna push the airplane. I'm gonna sit in the airplane, and just being in the airplane, I will enjoy the law of aerodynamics that overcomes the law of gravity, right? So when we enjoy the law of the spirit of life, we are enjoying the divine and mystical law of aerodynamics. Amen. We're soaring over the law of sin and of death. Okay, now let's come to C. C says the uncreated divine life with the law of the spirit of life is in our human spirit. This law derives from God, who as the Spirit dwells in man's spirit. And we have a lot of verses here. Saints, let me just say this. You know, in Romans 7 and 8, Paul mentions we have these laws that are spontaneous, automatic principles, a spontaneous power, but there is also the law of moral commandments, a written code that is outside of us. And we need to realize that the law, the written law, is a portrait of God. It's a portrait of God. And Christ was the living portrait of God. Now, when you look at that portrait of God, you realize, I'm not like that. He's the portrait of God, especially before we got saved. Oh, our portrait was really not good, right? But he's the portrait of God. That means he is love, he is light, he is holiness, and he is righteousness. Now, God came into our spirit as the law of the spirit of life, which is the reality of the tree of life. And as the divine life in our spirit, he spreads from our spirit through our soul into our mind, and he makes us his duplication, and now we are the living portrait of the triune God. Really quite marvelous. Now, if you look, I'll just mention a few verses to you. You know, John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. A very good verse. But the problem is, in him was life. What about in us? In him was life, but he wanted there to be life in us. So in him was life. But you go to John 10:10, and he says, the thief, which signifies Satan, does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Again, that word life there, and we'll come to this on the outline, that word life there is not, again, is not bios, which we get the word biology from. It's not psyche, where we get the word psychology from. So when the Lord said, I came that you might have life, he wasn't saying, I came that you might have bios. I already have too much bios. I don't need any more bios, right? He didn't say, I came that you might have psyche, right? Which is the life of the soul. And the leading part of the soul is the mind. He said, I came that you might have zoe, which is the divine, eternal, uncreated, indissoluble life of the triune God. I came that you might have zoe and might have it abundantly. In John 14:6, this is just amazing. He said, I am the zoe. Think about this. This is a man saying this. I am the zoe. Now, that means if we're going to have zoe, he needs to dispense himself into us. So as he passed through this process, we know that in resurrection, you know, and resurrection cannot be separated from ascension, it says the last Adam, he was the last Adam, he became a zoe-giving spirit. So that his job description is to give us zoe this morning. That's what he wants to do. He wants to give you zoe, Eddie. Are you open to receive zoe this morning?
Amen.
Oh, the amen wasn't too exercised, right?
Amen.
Okay, I'll give you a C on that. Okay, now, all right. You know, Eddie, I'm picking on you because I got picked on a lot. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'll tell you one time, Brother Benjamin Chen and I, we were translating something that was so crucial to the whole recovery, and we were doing it during the training, church affairs, downstairs. You know, the ministry meeting was upstairs. And Brother Lee would have a test, you know, and then he would minister the word. Benjamin and I would stay downstairs right to the point where the test began. Then we'd come upstairs. And then I would sit, you know, Benjamin sat here, and I would sit near Benson and Brother Lee and Andrew, and we'd be sitting together. And saints, I have never fallen asleep in a meeting. But in this meeting, you know, you can sleep in three ways. You can sleep physically. You can sleep psychologically, right? Like in this meeting, you can be looking at me. But your mind is, oh, pretty soon I'm going to drive back to Pittsburgh. But, you know, your mind, you can be sleeping psychologically. Or you can even be sleeping spiritually. What does that mean? That means your perception is dormant. Your spiritual perception is dormant. So we don't want to be those who are sleeping. Don't worry. If I'm not looking around for anybody who's sleeping physically. The best place to sleep is in the meeting. You know, Ricky remembers this. We were in a college conference together, and I was speaking, and there was a brother. I remember it was in this vicinity. It was over here. This brother was sound asleep. He was in REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. You know, when you almost could see the dreams above his head. So I looked at him. I went, "Oh Lord Jesus!" I kept speaking. Then I sat next to Ricky. All of a sudden, he stands up to share. I said, "What is going on here?" And Ricky, I can't say it exactly, but I'll give kind of the gist of it. He said, "You know, I was in this meeting, and Brother Ed was sharing, and I was sound asleep." He said, "But at a certain point in Ed sharing, I woke up, and the Lord shined into me and convicted me of my sins, convicted me of being backslidden." He said, and saints, I repent that my love for the Lord was not burning. I repent for being backslidden. So right now, I'd like to consecrate my whole life to Christ and the church. That's a result of someone sleeping in the meeting. Okay. Wonderful. Now, I think I read this. C says, the uncreated divine life with the law of the spirit of life is in our human spirit. This law derives from God, who as the spirit dwells in man's spirit. Now, listen to Roman numeral 3. This utterance is marvelous. The whole Bible is like a ring studded with a precious stone. The book of Romans is the precious stone on the ring. And chapter 8 is like the light that shines from that stone. Who could write something like that? Romans 8 is like the light that shines from that precious stone on that ring. The subject of Romans 8 is the law of the spirit of life. The law of the spirit of life. Now, A says, every life has a law and even is a law. God's life is the highest life. And the law of this life is the highest law. It's the highest automatic principle. It's the highest spontaneous power. The law of the spirit of life is the highest law. And every life has a law. You know, the dog life, their life has a law, You know, we had a dog, which I greatly loved this dog, and it's been over a year now, and since he passed, I love this dog so much. I have to tell you, one time he was sitting next to me, I was working on the ministry, I looked down at him, I said, "I want to let you know that you are God's gift to me." He said, looking at me like this, because he didn't understand, you know. Because, you know, whenever I'm around him, it doesn't matter what my condition is. He's happy to see me. He's wagging his tail, you know. And anyway, the brothers aren't like that all the time, wagging their tails, you know, when you come in the room. Okay. Anyway, Ruthie and I decided to get a new dog. I'm looking forward to that. Aren't you glad that the dog cheers me up? Now, he didn't cheer me up this way, but there's something in it. Okay, let me just say this. Look, a dog, and Ruthie would get so upset because dogs dig holes. No one taught them to do that, right? They dig holes and they bury their bone in the hole. So Ruthie said to me, "Oh, Eddie, look at what our dog has done. He had dug holes all over our yard, all over." I said, "Don't worry about it, Ruthie. That's the law of the dog life, you know." Anyway, no one taught him to do that. Isn't that amazing? No one taught a cat to catch mice, right? The law of the cat life is to go after mice. Is it or is it not? Now, I remember there was a mouse in our apartment, and I'm going to expose myself here. You know, I couldn't believe I saw the mouse, and this mouse, I didn't realize how fast mice were. It was, phew, phew. And you know what I did? I jumped up on the chair. You think just the sisters would jump up on the chair. I jumped up on the chair, and I was looking at this mouse, you know. Anyway, eventually we dealt with the mouse, you know. I didn't deal with the mouse, you know. We didn't deal, anyway, I'm not going to tell you how we dealt with the mouse, but we did. But the mouse, man, you can't believe how fast the mouse is. I just jumped up on the chair. I guess that was the law of Ed Marks's life. You know, anyway, okay. Now let's come to B. The triune God has been processed through incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to become the law of the Spirit of life installed in our spirit. Now listen to this. As a scientific law, an automatic principle. Now I want you to be impressed with this next sentence. This is one of the biggest discoveries, even recoveries, in God's economy. C says, the law of the Spirit of life, the compound spirit, frees us from the law of sin and of death, solving for us the problem of sin and of death. D says, the law of the Spirit of life is the spontaneous power of the divine life. It is the natural characteristic and the innate automatic function of the divine life. And we see a picture of this in Isaiah 40. Of course, you know, I don't know which meeting I shared this in, but in Proverbs 30, 18 and 19, the one who wrote Proverbs, he said, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Indeed, four which I do not know. The first one is the way of an eagle in the sky. He couldn't explain this. Can you explain it? I can't explain it. You can go to a zoologist or whatever. Tell me about the way of an eagle in the sky. How does that eagle mother know when to send her eaglets out of the nest? If I was the eagle mother, I'd be scared to death, right? But the eagle mother knows intuitively when those eaglets should go out of the nest, and they fly automatically, right? What a miracle. The creation speaks Christ to us, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get into that, but even the creation testifies of Christ. Now, in Isaiah 40, these are somewhat well-known verses. In verse 31, it says, those who wait on Jehovah will renew their strength. This means you look for the Lord. You expect the Lord. Your hope is in the Lord. So to wait for the Lord doesn't mean like you're in the waiting room of a doctor's office, right? It means you're looking for him expectantly. And then it says, will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and will not become weary. They will walk and will not faint. You know, one translation, which says they will mount up with wings like eagles, it says they will sprout with wings like eagles. So when you spend time with the Lord in the morning, you sprout eagle's wings. You start out like this, right? When you wake up in the morning, are you in the third heavens? No. But when you contact the Lord, when you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord Jesus, I need you, you sprout wings like an eagle. And you come out of the room and your wife is so happy to see you because you're shining. You're shining because you got infused with God as the reality of the eagle life. Now let's come to E, the process triune God as the life-giving spirit installed into our spirit may be likened to electricity. God's operation as the law of the divine electricity within us requires our cooperation to switch on this law. Now, wouldn't it be ludicrous if the lights here went out and I called the power plant? I said, the lights in our meeting hall are out. And he would say, there's no problem here in the power plant. Don't you know there's a switch in your meeting hall? Just switch it on and the lights will come on. So in the same way, we need to switch on the law of the spirit of life in our spirit. And like I told you previously, you know, in Matthew 24:47, the Lord likens, he said, that when the Son of Man comes back, it will be like the lightning shining from the east to the west. You look at the footnote, the last sentence says, this shows that the Lord is like electricity. Just that sentence, would you ever see that without the help of the ministry? If I said, you know, we want everything we say to be from the Bible, right? If I would have said to a lot of saints, what verse shows us the Lord is like electricity? I don't think many could, but you have the footnote. This shows the Lord is like electricity. When he comes back, he's like the lightning that shines from the east to the west. Lightning is pure electricity. Okay, now let's come to F. When we remain in touch with the Lord, staying in contact with him, the law of the spirit of life works automatically, spontaneously, and effortlessly to dispense God as life into our being and to overcome the law of sin and of death. One says we need to cease from our own struggling and striving. And he says, if we have, this is very important, saints, if we have not seen that sin is a law and that our will can never overcome this law, we are trapped in Romans 7. We will never arrive at Romans 8. Paul willed again and again, but the result was only repeated failure. The best that a man can do is to make resolutions. Now, here in the United States, we have this kind of saying, New Year's resolutions, right? You make a New Year's resolution, and you might make a New Year's resolution to, you know, exercise. And so you get an exercise machine, and you use it for 3-4 months, and where does it end up? It ends up in the garage. Now, I'm not saying yours ended up in the garage, but most people's end up in the garage. I'm so thankful mine is still in my living area. But I don't use it enough. That's a problem. Okay, but the most we can do is to make resolutions. But resolutions do not work. What works is our exercising our spirit to switch on the law of the spirit of life. Now, C says, when sin is dormant within us, it is merely sin. But when it is aroused in us by our willing to do the good, it becomes the evil. Now listen to verse 21 of Romans 7. I find then the law, with me who wills to do the good because the evil is present with me. Now notice, this verse has good and evil in it. That's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when you will to do the good, you switch on the law of sin and of death. You try to do good, you flip the wrong switch, and the evil is present with you. Now D says, instead of willing, we should set our mind on the Spirit and walk according to the Spirit, looking away unto Jesus. 2 says, in order to live in our spirit, we need to take time to behold the Lord. And we've got this line from this hymn here, praying to fellowship with Jesus, to bathe, I like this, to bathe in his countenance. Saints, every morning we need to bathe in the Lord's countenance, which is his uplifted presence, where he uplifts his face upon us. We need to enjoy his countenance in that way every day. And we need to be saturated with his beauty. We need to radiate his excellence. This is hymn number 784. A very good, not only a good hymn to sing, but a good hymn to pray back to the Lord. Now 3 says, we need to cooperate with the indwelling, installed, automatic, and interoperating God by prayer and by having a spirit of dependence. Have a spirit of dependence. Remember, every day is Dependence Day. There's no Independence Day in the divine and mystical realm. Every day for us is Dependence Day. So we have a spirit of dependence. We like to depend on the Lord in everything and for everything. Listen to this. Thus, maintaining our fellowship, I like these terms, with the Lord of life and the Lord of work. 4 says, we need to care for the sense of life in our spirit to remain in the fellowship of life, the flowing of the divine life, for the operation of the law of the spirit of life. So, care for the sense of life in your spirit. You know, saints, of course, I can't read all these portions. You know, when I read the ministry, I think of all kind of other portions in the ministry. That's why I write these outlines. Everything, you know, different portions, you put them together, and it's a development, a marvelous development of the ministry. Now, you know, Romans 8:6 says, the mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace, is Zoe and peace. So we need to keep our mind set on the spirit, which means we pay attention to our spirit. We use our spirit. We exercise our spirit. We don't neglect our spirit. So now, what is the meaning of the sense of life, and I would add peace also, the meaning of the sense of life and peace, okay, let me say this first. The mind set on the flesh is death. So we have the feeling of death because we have the sense of life. With that sense of life, you know when you touch death. So what is the sense of death? It's an inner sense of weakness, emptiness, uneasiness, restlessness, depression, dryness, darkness, pain, etc. on the negative side. Have you ever had this kind of feeling? Amen? We have, right? And that's preserved us. That sense of death preserves us and is like a yellow light, even a red light. Stop, Ed. Don't go that way. You see, look, you're thinking about going that way. You're weak within. You're empty. You're uneasy. You're dry. You're restless. You're depressed. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Now, what is the feeling of life and peace? It means you have an inner feeling of strength. You have an inner feeling. Saints, I hope right now You have an inner feeling that the Lord is your strength. So you have an inner feeling of strength, of satisfaction, of peace, of rest, of release, of liveliness, of watering, of brightness, of comfort, etc., on the positive side. Isn't that wonderful? So the life, the mindset on the spirit is Zoe and peace. Zoe and peace. It's not a matter of right and wrong. We do not do things or decide things. We are not in the realm of right and wrong. We are in the realm of life and peace. And I would say even life and death. If you go this way, do you have the sense of death or do you have the sense of life? It's not a matter of is it right or is it wrong. You may have heard me share this. You know, when I was, even when I was very young, I would say, you know, can I say elementary school? Yes, I can say. Maybe when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, there were a lot of books in the library, biographies for kids who were 10 years old, let's say. I read a biography of Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, just like Joshua. So I read that. His life inspired me. As a 10-year-old, I said, you know, I want to be a lawyer. That's what I said as a 10-year-old. Okay. Then I graduated from college, and I came into church life. And I decided I'm going to be a lawyer. So as you know, Joshua, to be a lawyer, what is it? You have to take the LSAT. Is that what it's called? You have to take the LSAT. You have to, if you're applying to a certain school, you have to give a certain amount of money, if you got accepted, to get a seat in that school. Okay, I did that. I forget how much money it was. But I didn't go. I lost that money because the Lord in me said, I do not want you to go. You go there. When I thought about going there, I had the inner sense of death, dryness, weakness, emptiness. So I didn't go. Okay. Then, this shows you where I was at that point. I tried again to apply to law school. I said, maybe the Lord has changed his mind. But he did not change his mind. So I lost. Joshua, do you remember how much money you had to pay for a seat? Yeah, I don't remember either. But for us, you know, what we would consider a small amount of money today was a lot of money. So I said, maybe the Lord has changed his mind. I put more money down. The Lord said, no, I did not change my mind yet. You know, okay. So thank the Lord. I'm so glad for the sense of life and peace. All right, now, says because we're talking about life versus death, we need to take care of the flow of life within us. The way we define the word fellowship is that fellowship is the flow of the eternal life within us. You look at Revelation 22:1, it says that there's a river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That proceeding river is a picture of the fellowship of life, which is the flow of the eternal life in all of us. You know, in Malachi 2, 15 through 16, you know, there's a lot here with these verses, but two times, the Lord says to the priest in the Old Testament, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. You know, Ruthie and I, of course, we love all the saints, and we love the young people. Even though I don't work with the young people anymore officially, this young sister came to us and said, you know, she's talking to Ruthie and I, and she said, I just want to let you know that I've been accepted at Harvard. And that's great, you know, I've been accepted at Harvard. And she told us, all the young people are saying, just go. You got accepted at Harvard Law School. Go. You don't even need to pray. Just go. And so I said, look, I won't tell you what her name was. I said, look, you have to pray. You have to pray. Now, if you go to Harvard and the flow, you have the flow of life, right? You have a sense of life, peace, flowing, enlightening. You should go there. You should go there. But if you don't have that flow, you should not go there. So she applied to UCLA, and she applied to Harvard. And I didn't tell her what to do. I gave her the book, Our Human Spirit. And there's at least one chapter in there on the sense of life in your spirit, the sense of life and peace versus the sense of death. We told her, you've got to take care of that sense. You've got to pray. And so she prayed, and she went to UCLA. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to Harvard. I love Harvard. We have young people from Harvard in our training, right? But if the Lord is not flowing in you to go there, you shouldn't go there. Go with the flow. Go where the flow is in your being. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Okay, now, A and B, I already talked about this. A and B talk about the sense of life on the negative side is the feeling of death. The sense of life on the positive side is the feeling of life and peace. Now let's come to Roman numeral 4. Romans 8 is the focus of the entire Bible and the center of the universe. Joshua, would you ever dream about saying something like that? Romans 8 is the focus of the entire Bible. Romans 8 is the center of the universe. You know, we were fellowshipping about this, and Peter pointed out, and we've got this verse on the outline, you know, that God stretched forth the heavens, he laid the foundation of the earth, and he formed the spirit of man within him. That shows the heavens, which includes all the galaxies. God stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundation of the earth, and he formed the spirit of man within him, which just based on that verse, we can say our spirit is the center of the universe. Well, not only is our spirit the center of the universe, if we are experiencing Romans 8, there is a person in our spirit now. This person is a law. He's an automatic principle. He's a spontaneous power. So the law of the spirit of life in our spirit is the center of the universe. Now, A says, in eternity past, God purposed to enter into his redeemed people so that he could be their life and so that they could be his corporate expression. This is the focus of God's economy. Okay, I'm just looking, you know, to save time. Again, I may be like a gazelle here and jump over certain points. Now, if I jump over a point, I'm not minimizing that point. I'm doing that for the sake of time. I have to stop at a certain time. And Ricky may go like this to me when that time is up. Ed! Okay, praise the Lord. I don't think he'll do that. But he might say, Brother Ed, you know. Anyway, something like that. So I have to watch my time. Aren't you glad I have to watch my time? Praise the Lord. You know, I am, as far as time is concerned, when I'm speaking, I break the Sabbath. I always break the Sabbath, all the time. And so I came into the meeting hall, and one of the brothers that does audio and video came up to me. I said, you know, brother, at least I have not yet given a message as long as the Apostle Paul. He spoke all through the night. Can you imagine? He spoke all through the night. At a certain point in the night, there was this young man way up there on a beam. He fell asleep. And he fell down from that. Well, I think it was the third story. Was it the third story? He fell down. So can you imagine, you're given a message. Someone sleeps. Boom. Then Paul goes down. He puts his hands on him. He lays on him. He says, don't worry. He's still alive. His breath is in him. Let's end the meeting right here. He didn't say that. He kept sharing. He kept sharing until past breakfast. I said, well, I'm encouraged. I've never given a message that long. Okay, now we shared Zechariah 12:1. Let's undersee, let's come to 2. The heavens are for the earth is for man, and man was created by God with the Spirit. I love what comes after that. We were created by God with the Spirit, man, so that he may contact God, receive God, worship God, live God, fulfill God's purpose for God, and be one with God. So the central focus in the universe is that the process triune God has come into us and now dwells in us. This is the greatest miracle. Nothing else in the universe could be more important than this. Of course, if you read these verses, it's very clear. Now, we'll go to E. We should all be full of joy. Saints, are you full of joy this morning?
Amen.
Okay, if you're not, I'm not looking at you. But I'm looking at these brothers. They're full of joy. Don't be proud, brothers. Okay. But you're full of joy. I'm so happy. We all should be full of joy. Why should we be unhappy? We should be full of joy. Why? Because the triune God is indwelling us.
Amen.
Right? And is one with us. He is our life, he is our person, and he is making us his home. So when we pray Ephesians 3, 14 through 17, and we say, oh, Father, according to the riches of your glory, strengthen me with power. That Greek word for power there is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite from. You know, sometimes we are so much in the self. We need divine dynamite to blast us out of ourselves into the inner man.
Amen.
So we're strengthened with dunamis, strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in our hearts.
Amen.
Now, the actual Greek, if you did said it literally, you can look in God's New Testament economy, it's that God, that Christ may make his home deep down in our hearts. Deep down in our hearts through faith. So that prayer, I hope that we would build up a habit of praying that prayer in a daily way. Now, as said, the indwelling Spirit in Romans 8 is the triune God. Okay, I'm going to skip over to 4 under this. 4 says, the triune God, as the all-inclusive Spirit, is within us for us to experience and enjoy by taking him as our life and our person. We are the container of the triune God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? A vessel is a container. We are the containers of the triune God.
Amen.
We were made in the image of God, right? Because we're made in the image of God, you know, we always use the illustration of the hand and the glove. The glove is in the image of a hand to contain a hand. If the hand doesn't get into the glove, let's say, you know, for illustration purposes, if the glove never had a hand inside of it, it would say, oh, I'm meaningless.
Amen.
My existence means nothing. You see, the glove exists for the purpose of a hand coming into it. Brothers and sisters, the divine and mystical hand of the triune God embodied in Christ, realized as the Spirit, has come into us, right? And that's why we were created in the image of God, so that he could fill us with himself as the content of God, as the content of God. Okay, now, Roman numeral 5 says, Romans 8 reveals that the process triune God, as the law of the Spirit of life, gives the divine life to the believers for their living. For their living. And he says, when we receive the Lord by believing into him, he functioned as the law of the Spirit of life. I didn't skip that much, did I, brothers?
No.
Okay, I'm close to the end. Wow. Yeah. No. Hallelujah. Okay. But who knows what will happen, okay? Someone will fall down, okay? He functioned as the law of the Spirit of life to dispense himself as the divine, uncreated life of God into our spirit. Now, again, the life of God there is Zoe, which is, again, the divine, uncreated life of God. That is Zoe. He dispensed himself as Zoe into our spirit. We all need to see the great revelation that at least one part of our being, our spirit, is Zoe.
Amen.
Romans 8:10 says this. The spirit, our spirit, is Zoe because of righteousness. Saints, I don't know how you all feel this morning. And again, I'm not looking around for anybody sleeping or whatever. But regardless, one third of your being is Zoe.
Amen.
Good news, right?
Amen.
Very good news. So when we set our mind on the spirit, our mind, which represents our soul, becomes Zoe. Also, Zoe can be imparted through the operation of the law of the Spirit of life into our mortal bodies. In this way, we become men of Zoe in our entire tripartite being, for us to become the city of Zoe. So, our spirit is Zoe. When we set our mind on the Spirit, we pay attention to the Spirit. When we get into the Word of God by pray reading the Word of God, by musing on the Word of God, we are setting our mind on our spirit. And remember, our spirit is Zoe, so our mind becomes Zoe. That if we really open our whole being to the triune God, it says the spirit of the one, this is verse 11, Romans 8, the spirit of the one, if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from among the dead dwells in you, this spirit of the resurrecting triune God will also give Zoe to your mortal body through his spirit who indwells you. That means your whole tripartite being has become Zoe, making you a man of Zoe.
Amen.
And then eventually we become the city of Zoe.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The Father is the light of life, right? He's the light of Zoe. The Son is the tree of life. He's the tree of Zoe. The Spirit is the river of water of life. He's the river of the water of Zoe. So that's the entire triune God. And not only that, because this triune God, who is Zoe, has dispensed himself into our entire tripartite being, we have become the city of Zoe.
Amen.
Now, is New York City the city of Zoe? No way. But I like New York City. You know why I love New York City? Because there's a church in New York City. I really mean it. I came into the church in Houston. Oh, my goodness. I moved from, okay, first I was in Pittsburgh. Then I went to Austin. You know, I had a scholarship there. Then I moved to Wichita, Kansas. I had a scholarship there. Listen, when you don't have the Lord's presence, you don't have a compass. So I didn't know the Lord. So I had no compass. So here I'm in Wichita. You know, anyway, I still had a scholarship. I'm in Wichita. I believe the Lord moved me to Wichita for one reason, to meet Ruthie. That's good. You know, Ruthie prayed for me. She prayed for me to get saved. When I said, look, where are the dinosaurs in the Bible? She kept praying for me. And she prayed and prayed and prayed, and I got saved. And I came into the church life. And so I wanted to share with her about the church. So she wanted to be a missionary. And so she came to Dallas. I don't know what there was. There was some seminar for people who wanted to be missionaries. You were a nurse. And so she came there. And I went there to visit her. I stayed in a house, in a brother's house. She stayed in a sister's house. The brother's house I stayed in were brothers who all went to Dallas Theological Seminary. They all went to Dallas Theological Seminary. Here I am among them. You know, Oh, my goodness. Okay, listen, I probably told you this before. You know, I went to a Sunday school class because I was there with Ruthie. And they had an overhead projector. You know, I don't even know if they still have it. You know, where you put a piece of plastic and you draw on it, then it puts it up on the board. It was so boring. It was so boring. So I said to he was a brother. I said to the brother next to me, I said, brother, I whispered to him, I said, did you know that you had a human spirit and that your human spirit is the lamp of the Lord? And when the Lord came into you, he lit your lamp. He said, what seminary do you go to? That's what he said to me. There's scriptures for everything I said there. I went to the seminary of the body.
Amen.
I'm in the seminary of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got to speak to Ruth about the church. I prayed for her to come in the church. Now she's in the church. She prayed for me to get saved. I got saved. I prayed for her to come in the church. She came in the church. Now we're saved. We're both in the church, and we're living happily ever after with Christ and the church. Wonderful. Just wonderful. You know, when we look at our lives, brothers and sisters, we just consider, even as unbelievers and becoming a believer, you just have to worship the Lord for his mercy on us. So merciful to us. Okay, now let's come to B. God's desire and goal. Oh, I'm sorry. I still have time. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. Listen, this is from Romans Life Study, Message 62. And I really like this portion. Listen to this. Romans 8:10 says, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is life, Zoe, because of righteousness. Okay, Brother Lee says this. We would expect Paul to say that the spirit is living. But it doesn't say that. It says instead, he says, the spirit is life or Zoe. When we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, this Zoe gets into our spirit and causes our spirit to become Zoe. Now, not only the triune God is life, but our spirit is life. We shall proclaim that at least one part of our being, our spirit is Zoe.
Amen.
You know, you can go to the mirror in the morning, and usually when you go to the mirror, it doesn't look that good, right? Even the sisters, you know, some of the sisters to me in the training, to me it looks like they have halos over their head. They're just so angelic. But then they get married. Halo starts to disappear, you know what I mean? And then they have kids, you know. Anyway, listen, you might go to the mirror. You don't feel that good. You need to look in the mirror and say, my spirit is Zoe.
Amen.
Oh, how we all need this revelation. May we see not only that we are saved and regenerated, but also that the innermost part of our being has become life, or Zoe. Knowing that our spirit is Zoe will be a great help to us in our daily living. When you are tempted to lose your temper, do not suppress your anger. I'm adding this. Don't go to anger management class. It doesn't work. Do not suppress your anger. Instead, simply declare, my spirit is Zoe.
Amen.
Let's declare that together. My spirit is Zoe. Okay. I'm trying to read down here. Now, when you say, my spirit is Zoe, it enables you to resist Satan's temptations. Then he gives this testimony, and I'll just say two sentences. The reason that I am so lively and energetic is that my spirit is Zoe. Now, our brother was very lively. He was very energetic. In his 60s, in his 70s, he was so lively and energetic. You know, again, I think I told you in a previous message, I used to work on the camera. Carrie has a PhD in linguistics, and I'm serving the ministry, and we both found out this is not our function. So, again, you watch the old videos, you see that they're out of focus, you realize Ed Marks was on the camera in that video. Now, here's what would happen. Brother Lee would be sharing, and I would have the camera on him. And all of a sudden, he would get so excited. He would disappear. Where is he? You know, I'm looking around, right? I mean, he's in his 70s, and he's so lively. He's so energetic. Just wonderful. Okay, then he goes, this is the last sentence. He says, now I know that the divine Zoe has been dispensed into my spirit, into the center of my being. Now I know that my spirit has become Zoe. Amen. So saints, remember, we need to declare this every day. My spirit is Zoe.
Amen. My spirit is Zoe. Amen.
Now B says, God's desire and goal are that we live by the divine life and minister life to others for the building up of the church. This life is in Christ Jesus, and it is the life of the law of the spirit of life. Now this is in 1 John 5:16. This is very practical. It says this, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death. In other words, I'll apply this. If you see your brother, and you see a brother that's maybe backslidden, or he's down, or he's depressed, and you see your brother in this state, what should you do? Don't criticize. You see, you don't see, criticize, and spread death. No, you don't. So it says, if anyone sees his brother, I'll just use the word sinning. Listen to this. He shall ask. So if you see one of the saints or the young people, and they're down, they're out of it, or whatever, you need to be an asker. A-S-K-E-R. If you read the footnote on this verse, it uses the word asker. Asker. We need to be askers. If you see, ask. Ask. Now, let me go on. He shall ask, and he will give life to him. In other words, when you ask, you get filled with the Zoe-giving spirit, and you become a channel of Zoe to that person. So you see, you ask, and you give life. I hope we experience that, you know, even day by day. We see, we ask, and we give life. We need to ask for one another. You know, Paul said, he wrote Timothy, he said this, making mention of you in my prayers. In other words, sometimes we don't have to pray a long prayer. I see one. I could just make mention of him in my prayers. I could say, oh, Lord Jesus, Brother Juan. And the Lord will do something that I don't know. He'll do something beyond what I could do. But I can make mention of him in my prayers. You see, I can ask. And he can ask for me. I hope he does that. You know, I think he does. That's why I'm so happy this morning. Because I'm putting you on the spot here, but I just appreciate the prayers of all the saints, you know, for us brothers. Not that we're special, but, you know, because we have a particular function. Praise the Lord for all the functions of all the members, right? So we need to ask for one another. We need to make mention of the saints in our prayers. Now, C says, we need to see that the way to live as a believer is by the law of the spirit of life. We must be controlled and directed by the law of the spirit of life to experience a genuine and normal Christian life. According to God's economy and eternal purpose, what God wants to do in his salvation is to work himself into us, his redeemed people, as our life. God's desire is to work himself into us as our life. His desire to work himself into us as our life is the focus of the Bible.
Amen.
in this meeting, he wants to work himself into you and into me as life. This is the focus of the Bible. Listen, if we are weak, lacking life, it is because we are short of spiritual breath. Amen. To breathe spiritually is to call on the name of the Lord. So in Lamentations 3, 55 through 56, you know you have a book called Jeremiah. Then you have a book called Lamentations. And, you know, lots of times, experientially, we might be in Lamentations, right? Lamentations. Well, what should you do if you're in Lamentations? Listen to what Jeremiah did. He said, I called upon your name. Oh, Jehovah. I like this. Oh, Lord. You know, you look at the ministry. I can show you points of ministry where our brother says, say, oh, Lord Jesus. But then there's another place where he said, just say, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, when I read that, I said, Lord, I want to, oh, Lord, my way into the kingdom. So we need to call in the name of the Lord. Oh, Jehovah. And we do that from the lowest pit. Have you ever felt like you were in the lowest pit? Not just a pit, but the lowest pit. Okay, so listen to what Jeremiah said. He said, you have heard my voice. Don't hide your ear at my breathing, at my cry. In other words, Jeremiah's calling on the name of the Lord was his spiritual breathing. And we have hymn number 255 here, which is a marvelous hymn to sing and to pray. You know, it says, I'm breathing out my sorrow. I'm breathing out my sin. I'm breathing. All thy fullness in. Right? I wish I could quote it exactly, but one verse says, teach me how to pour into your bosom my life of self and sin. You see, saints, when we spend personal time with the Lord and we have problems, we can pour them into his bosom. Pour into his bosom your life of self and sin. When you do that, it makes room in your being for the Zoe to be dispensed into your whole being. You see, life, your life of self, your life of sin, you pour it into the Lord's bosom. Don't pour it into Joshua's bosom. He can't. He couldn't take it. If I said, oh, Joshua, you can't believe what I did today, he would say, I didn't know Brother Ed went through things like that, you know. But you can pour it into the Lord's bosom. You can have a personal time with the Lord. You can talk to the Lord. And the Lord knows just where you are. And so you pour into his bosom all your life of self and sin. And in this song, it says, teach me how to breathe you in. Right? We need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me how to breathe you in at all times, in all places. Okay, 3 says, as we continually breathe in the Spirit as life and allow him to spread into all our being, more and more of Christ is added into us. This is to possess, experience, and enjoy the subject of God within our being. When God is thus added into our being, we will receive the life element that causes us to grow for the building up of the body of Christ. You know, Colossians 2:19, it indicates this. It says that when we hold the head, we hold the head. What does it mean to hold the head? I'm going to give one definition. To hold the head means that we stay intimately connected to Christ as the head. We stay intimately connected to him as the head of the body and as our head. When we do that, the next phrase says, out from whom? All the body, because we're intimately connected to him. I'm sorry. Out from him comes the body, right? Out from whom all the body. Now, let me read the rest. Being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews grows with the growth of God. Now, that doesn't mean God grows in himself. That means God grows in us. So we need to pray, Lord, grow in me today. Lord, grant me this day's growth in life. Then five says, I'm going to make it. While we are growing with this life element, the law of the Spirit of life works in us automatically to shape us, to conform us into the image of Christ. Now, let's come to Roman numeral 6. Our enjoyment of the indwelling Spirit as the automatic law of the Spirit of life is in the body of Christ and for the body of Christ, with the goal of making us the same as God in life, nature, and expression, but not in the Godhead, and constituting us the members of the body of Christ with all kinds of functions. So all of our functions come out of the law of the Spirit of life operating in us. Now, Roman numeral 7, ultimately, this life, Zoe, this life will prepare the bride of Christ, which will cause the Lord to come back and usher us into the next age. For this reason, the crucial focus of the Bible and the universe is Romans 8.
Amen.
Ricky didn't have to do this. So this is the end of the message. I even made it. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you. But I made it. Aren't you happy, Joshua? And so it's going to be all your turn to share now. Now just remember, when you come to the mic, before you come, don't analyze. Lots of times we analyze. We say, okay, I'm going to share A, B, and C. We come to the microphone, and we forget. We forget A, B, and C. We share D, E, and F. And then we sit down and say, I'm never going to share again. No, you have to keep sharing. You have to keep sharing, you know. So don't worry about that. I tell the trainees, you know, if you're prophesying, you know, I liken it to an airplane. I said, okay, let's say the airplane gets shot, and you're going down in flames, and you're at the microphone, you feel like you're going down in flames. Go down in flames exercising your spirit. Because if you exercise your spirit, the saints will get something. The saints will get something. Okay. I'll stop here. Okay. Pray with your neighbor for about 30 seconds or so. Amen.